Over 1,000 doctoral scientists from around the world have signed a statement publicly expressing their skepticism about the contemporary theory of Darwinian evolution. So writes the Discovery Institute in Evolution News, and in fact their website for this specific story is at dissentfromdarwin.org. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Jonathan Wells. We've had him on the program before. He's written the, I think it's one of the very best books ever on the issue of evolution, and it talked about all these icons of evolution. Dr. Wells, thank you so much for joining us again.
It's a pleasure, Jerry.
All right. Our focus today is on this new article from Evolution News. The title of the article says, Skepticism about Darwinian evolution grows as 1,000-plus scientists share their doubts. And I have no doubt you, sir, are one of those doctoral scientists that expressed your doubt.
That's correct. I was one of the early signers of the list.
All right. And you, by the way, you have more than one doctorate in, you know, related to science, I believe.
Well, actually, I have a PhD in biology from Berkeley, but I also have a PhD in theology from Yale.
And if anybody looks down on that, they might say, hey, well, wait a minute, Darwin had a degree, but his degree was in theology.
Yeah, that's true. My degree in theology is actually relevant to this because I did my research on the 19th century Darwinian controversies.
Okay, so tell us about this, you know, this whole list. Who put it all together, and what was the catalyst for it?
Well, in 2001, Bruce Chapman, director of the Discovery Institute, where I was working at that time, we all saw a TV special put out by PBS promoting evolution, and the special claimed, among other things, that virtually all scientists in the world agreed with the theory. Well, I and Bruce knew that wasn't true, so he started the list. I had been a PhD student in biology at Berkeley 10 years before, and I was skeptical of Darwinism then, and many of my colleagues were too, but because of the pressure of Darwinian orthodoxy, they didn't speak out publicly. And the list was partly designed to provide encouragement to such people to air their views.
And of course, about 10 years ago, there was that famous movie from Ben Stein, Expelled, and the whole point was that point you were just making a moment ago, that when people do speak out in the academy, sometimes they would lose their jobs if they favored intelligent design over evolution or creation science over evolution.
Yes, and sadly, an unfortunate number of scientists have lost their jobs. In fact, Discovery tries to discourage scientists from citing the list if it would put their careers in danger.
That's interesting. All right, well, what are the doubts about? What do they center on?
Well, in my case, they center on evidence. As a biology graduate student at Berkeley, I got a good close-up look at the evidence for Darwinian evolution. And I had already decided that the mechanism of natural selection and random variations would not produce the diversity that we see in the living world around us now. So I went to Berkeley already with that skepticism. But as I got a closer look at the evidence, I decided that the theory was wrong from start to finish. That is, Darwin's idea that we all descended from a common ancestor by natural processes, that was wrong too. So I'm actually much more skeptical of Darwinian evolution now than I was, say, 30 years ago.
Ah, but the evolutionists might counter, look, we can see drawings of the embryos, and we can see in the early stages of humanity, in other words, with an embryo of a baby human, it's very similar to the embryo of a fish, and this is, you know, a harbinger. No, not a harbinger. It's a, you know, something left over from the evolutionary process, and there's other evidences like that. You're coming?
Correct. Well, actually, those drawings that you're talking about are the ones that I learned at Berkeley are false. In fact, they were faked in the 19th century by a German colleague of Darwin's. And they were known to be fakes even at the time. and yet they were in basically all the biology textbooks as evidence that human embryos, as you say, look like fish, and that provides evidence that we, in fact, evolved from fish. Well, the drawings were highly inaccurate, and yet they're still in some textbooks. There are textbooks published since 2010 that still have those drawings.
Those are called Haeckel, as in the man, Ernst Haeckel, Haeckel's embryos. What about Darwin's finches? I remember you wrote about that subject in the Icons of Evolution book.
That's true. Now, Haeckel's embryos supposedly prove our common ancestry. Darwin's finches supposedly provide evidence for the mechanism of natural selection. Well, Darwin actually didn't know about the finches. He picked up a few on his visits to the Galapagos Islands in 1845. But they weren't called Darwin's finches until a century later, when people knew more about them. And the story is, there are 13 species of finch on the Galapagos Islands, and in theory, they all diversified from a common ancestor. Well, the story got a lot of impetus in the 1970s when some biologists studied one particular species that had to go through a severe drought. And during the drought, 85% of the birds died. And the ones that died were those with smaller beaks. The larger beaks survived because they could crack the hard seeds left by the drought. And they extrapolated this result and decided that in 200 years, this could produce a whole new species of finch. Well, a few years later, the rains came back and everything went back to normal. So there was no net evolutionary change, certainly no new species. And yet many textbooks promote Darwin's finches as though they were evidence for the origin of species by natural selection. They're not.
How about ancient horses?
Well, they used to be an icon of evolution. You don't see them so much anymore, but the idea is that they modern one-toed horses evolved from an ancient and extinct multi-toed horse. The fossil evidence turned out to be far more complex. So the horse icon has actually been pretty much abandoned in favor of the whale icon. Now that numerous fossils have been found of animals that are claimed to be ancestors of whales.
All right. What about the idea that sometimes those in favor of creation science or whatever might extrapolate on this side of the fence? In other words, for example, some claims were made that they found dinosaur prints plus man's prints at the same time. Are those verified things, or are we, you know, being loosey-goosey with the facts? You enlighten me. I don't know. You know these things. I don't, to the degree
well,
you
that
do.
Well, that was many years ago, and as I recall, the Biloxi beds where these supposed yeah. dinosaur prints were found side by side with supposed human prints, that was exposed as a fraud, if not a fraud, at least misinterpreted.
Okay.
It was exposed by creationists.
Oh, I see.
There are creationists who really want to stick to the evidence and not make claims that go beyond it unless they're very clear that the claim they're making is based on the Bible rather than physical evidence.
Okay, good. Well, that's kind of a quality control within the discipline itself. How about a comment about the peppered moths, which supposedly provided, oh, there's proof positive of evolution at work?
Sure. Well, I have friends who tell me that's all they remember from their evolution lessons in high school. The peppered moth comes in basically two varieties, a dark one and a white one. And in England, before 1800, people saw only light moths. But when the Industrial Revolution gained ground and there was pollution in the air, the number of dark moths increased drastically. This was called, since dark moths are called melanic, this was called industrial melanism. And the idea was that birds could see the light-colored moths on the light-colored tree trunks that became darkened by pollution in the Industrial Revolution. So as the tree trunks got darker, The birds couldn't see the dark moths, but the light moths got seen and eaten, and that's why the proportions changed. Well, even if the story were true, it would only show a shift in the proportion of two varieties in one species. It wouldn't show anything more than that. But in the 1980s, scientists discovered that peppered moths in the wild don't normally rest on tree trunks. So the color of the trunk is basically irrelevant. And the story unraveled. And many scientists who knew a lot about the moths decided that the story was false, or at least unsupported. So a lot of textbooks took the moths out, although they can still be found in some textbooks. The main problem with the story is that the textbooks carried photographs of light and dark moths on light and dark tree trunks. Well, since the moths don't normally rest there, it turns out the photographs had been staged using dead moths pinned in place or just placed there and quickly photographed before they flew away. So the photos, most of them, are fakes. And that's why you don't see them so much anymore.
Wow. This is like Bigfoot territory almost. You know, it's crazy. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Our doubts about Darwin, our doubts about evolution, allowed to be told in our schools or in our natural museums in the country?
Well, it depends on which school or which museum. In many schools, you're right. Teachers are not allowed to express any skepticism of Darwinian evolution. A friend of mine, Roger DeHart, who used to teach not far from here, north of Seattle, lost his job 20 years ago because he taught the students the regular stuff about evolution, but he also gave them articles from journals like Science and Nature in which scientists expressed doubts about Haeckel's embryos, say, or the peppered moths. And just because he handed out these articles to provoke some skepticism or critical thinking in the students, he lost his job.
Was he like Teacher of the Year or something previously?
I don't remember, but he was.
He was very
admired
popular
by his students.
Yeah, I think I remember that. That was in one of the films, I think, of the Discovery Institute. Okay, we have about a minute left. How about a thought about the Cambrian explosion? Because that surely adds doubts to Darwin's theory.
Well, yes, it does. The Cambrian is a geological period that's routinely dated around 550 million years ago. And what's interesting about it is that before the Cambrian, there are no fossils of multicellular animals. And then in the Cambrian, basically, all the major groups of animals appeared suddenly without any evidence of common ancestry. Groups like mammals, vertebrates, such as ourselves, mollusks like oysters, echinoderms, which would include sea urchins, and so on. So because they appeared so suddenly without any ancestors, that poses a serious problem for Darwin's theory, according to which, you know, we all developed or evolved from common ancestors by unguided natural processes. The Cambrian explosion doesn't fit that at all.
We're basically out of time. I want to refer people to your article, though, the article that mentions all this. It's at descentfromdarwin.org. Again, the recapping our top story, skepticism about Darwinian evolution grows as 1,000-plus scientists share their doubts. Dr. Jonathan Wells, thanks so much for being with us, sir.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for having me.